welcome to the show. It's That Range Life, a show sometimes about golf. We're back, and we are yet in another location. Mm-hmm. This one to be revealed potentially at a later date.
Yeah, we are. We're scouting spots, yeah. And this one has promise. We're doing a little test show in the lobby of it. I hope this all works out because it's a cozy little place.
Yeah.
It's really clean. The neighborhood's amazing. At current time, it seems like it could be perfect for us, and I just really hope it all works out.
Yeah. It seems like it's almost too good to be true.
That never happens to us.
Right, yeah. So we'll see. But anyways, we thought we'd sit down. It's been a while. It's been a minute
yeah.
since we did one of these and talk about some stuff. We were addressing Full Swing.
Mm-hmm.
We never did our Full Swing thoughts tonight in half the time episode, right, right. So maybe that'll be what this is.
It's still a relevant topic that people are talking about, right?
I have no idea.
I don't think they are.
Not being on golf Twitter is like amazing. Yeah. I really love it. It's I gotta good. Tell you.
I feel
I'm so disconnected from all the nonsense.
My algorithm has led me into, I don't know if you're familiar with Iron Chef Dad.
On Twitter?
Yeah. Well, okay. No, on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
I think he has like 20 total videos and he has 2.4 million subscribers.
Really?
So he was on Iron Chef Canada and then he was as a contestant and then he became a judge on it, but he owns... He's Chinese. He owns a restaurant like in Singapore, Hong Kong, a bunch in Canada.
Oh, wow.
And his son was basically having him, I think, on his own channel, make like TV dinners, gourmet, and taking fast food and gourmeting it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there's like a wholesomeness to it / tons of humility from this guy. And the food's obviously incredible to look at, but like that's been my algorithm lately. That and the John Boy Media Warehouse games, and that's
that's your favorite.
It's been fantastic.
Yeah,
it's really really a nice safe little bubble to live in.
My YouTube algorithm's all screwed up because it's like guitar lessons and how to change headlights on a Prius,
yeah,
and all that sort of tutorial piano lessons.
I did get a good run of that from the bumper replacement project on our van.
Yeah, and, congratulations on that. I'm impressed.
Yeah, it was a project. Let me tell you,
I can't imagine just changing the two stupid light bulbs in the Prius was. I mean, my hands are still torn up from it. I look like a true McEwen.
You were punching through glass.
Yeah, it was rough.
Remember that time you came, I don't remember how much we divulged on the show, when you came home from the golf trip with hand injuries.
Yeah. Yes, severe. Yes, I do remember that. Yeah, it does kind of look like that. Anyways, Full Swing season 2.
Yeah.
How do we want to do this? Do you want to go episode by episode?
I don't know if we need to. I don't know what our people want from us. I did take notes on every single one of them.
Okay, give me your thoughts and I will expound.
So I got a couple things that...
Oh man, you got like pages and pages.
Starts here, yeah, and I just scribble them. let's see. Yeah, so one, hey, cool, Dan Rappaport was back.
Oh, God.
I know all you foreplay pod and Barstool fans love him, but
right. Give us the comments below of why he's a thing. Like what?
Because he was Matt Fitzpatrick. He like glommed on to Matt Fitzpatrick the 1 year they were at Northwestern. Like I don't get it. And I don't even feel like he contributes. Well, maybe not. I don't consume that content too much. I was like, I don't even know how much he contributes on their site either.
If he's a big, tell you.
I don't know. So, I mean,
but can we talk about that real quick? Just the narrative by all people. You had Rappaport. You had there were two other people, right, that were kind of giving us the narration.
Balionis,
formerly Balionis. She's something else now.
She was still Balionis on the.
Was she
on the lower third?
Yeah. Okay. But even that was so obvious. And stiff and like
we are a Balionis fan channel
for sure.
I for thought sure. she was even hard to.
It was a disservice, quite honestly, to her like natural sort of personality. And
that's a good
delivery.
Way. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, because I couldn't articulate what it was, but I'm like, why is she even hard to take?
Yeah, yeah. I just thought it was like they fed them. They clearly fed them lines. Maybe it was. It wasn't as obvious in season one, but season two, like it jumped out. Like, what are we doing here with this narration? With this, it wasn't it for me. And again, it's tough, I think, because I don't know. Maybe they're trying to balance the two audiences. There's the golf psychos who kind of know all the inside baseball stuff with PJ and Liv, and then there's everybody else, right? So like, my wife, who was watching it, maybe didn't have the eye roll to some of the narrative that I had.
As you say that, I took a note in the first episode, like you have to, it's tough to remember this is for a wider audience than us. Mm-hmm, That said, this show in the first season was heavily criticized for being unrelatable 1% rich white guy stuff.
Right.
And it was still unrelatable rich white guy 1%er.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, quite literally, like we didn't even venture into the Akshays, the Sahiths.
So I was wondering, I wanted to ask about that too. So they focused on Rory, Brooks.
But you have to, right?
I mean, there are just so, you know, we went back to Joelle, which was a good arc.
That was interesting. And I got to point this out real quick. I felt like maybe they touched on it, but I didn't feel like Joelle.
That's Joel.
Yeah, Joel Damon. That's a shout out Manolo.
Yeah, one of the best things that ever happened. That Tito's
part really three good.
Thing. Yeah.
He has. So let's go to Wyndham Clark and get in the sports psychologist. Okay, I never know which one.
Yeah,
the sports mental therapist.
Right. right.
And she was interested in how motherly she was. And then, you know, you look at the window
and then you figure it out.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think like Joel's issues don't seem to me to just be like, oh, mental on the golf course. Like, I think his wife made a comment about, you know, his childhood or, you know, his baggage.
Trauma. Right.
Which, you know, everybody has it to some degree. And so he deserves to not have that.
Right.
Minimized.
Right.
But for instance, that flight home where he's like, I'm going to be better and there's it'd be better for you. And they're crying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you picked up on. There are multiple times like, yeah, he's wasted. And so I don't know. Drinking's a little bit of an issue for him. And who am I to judge anybody on anything? I don't mean it like this. My point is, I think there is a lot more to unpack from his mental health perspective than just getting it right between his ears on the golf course.
And different sort of purpose from a therapy perspective than Wyndham.
Not a sports psychiatrist thing.
Right. It's just
psychologist.
Like,
I didn't get it right. Probably again, but like it's a man, you need to prioritize your personal mental health. Yeah, I think
you've got some underlying issues.
And I feel so bad. Like, who are we to say this? Talking heads guys on YouTube, and we're nobodies in the suburbs of Illinois right now. Right. But it was sad.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask, have you ever gone to therapy?
No.
Okay. I have.
And,
so does that make me okay? I'm not judging necessarily. Like I can actually sympathize.
I think that's the point I'm trying to make. I don't want to come off in a judgy way that I'm saying this. It's like when you're watching it, I watch it going, I don't think this is just solving his golfing problems. Right. And I hope, you know, I'm assuming the way they all seem to have the relationship, they communicate that and Netflix is only capturing the golf side. And I hope so.
Right. For what it's worth, he's been playing a lot better.
Yeah.
He's been around. He's been sniffing some leaderboards here and there. So maybe it's happening. I hope it's happening.
He's so likable.
I'm a huge proponent of therapy in general.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a huge fan of it. I think it only helps. I know he talked about, like, he did have a bad experience with a therapist.
Oh, did he? I didn't catch that.
Yeah, during the show, he talked about it. Like, he went when his mother passed away. I think it was him that had the bad experience, and then he wrote it off forever.
I thought that was Wyndham.
Was it Wyndham? I thought it was Joel.
It might have been.
I thought it was Joel. Anyways.
It was a while ago when we watched it at this point.
Yeah. We got off track. We said we were going to go like episode by episode. But yeah, my point being was, you had mentioned Akshay and these other guys. I'm wondering, you know, the tennis version of Full Swing, Netflix canceled because they didn't have access to everybody they wanted to use for the show.
Oh, wow.
I'm wondering if the PGA has the same kind of problem, sort of like the, you know, the NFL has basically had to start forcing teams to do their HBO show.
Hard Knocks.
Yeah. Because you think about like Akshay would be a great, I think Akshay would be a great story. Max Homa is a star in front of the camera. That dude is relatable. He's
funny.
He was
funny. In the first season, wasn't he?
Yeah, but so was everybody else saying, that was
but
in
no,
this
I
one.
Mean, I think he could have been one who's like, I had my fill of this. I don't want to do it again.
I just think there are so many different opportunities, you know, to cover that. I just wonder if they're struggling or if, like you said, they just went for the stars and they said, we got to get these guys. Because I think the first half of that of this season, the whole PGA Live thing was a bit over dramatized. I don't think it's Live is that relevant. And they were trying to make it like it was. Like, Live is not relevant. It's still not relevant. Maybe some guys in Live, but like you think about, okay, well, Brooke shows
up. It's relevant to them. And that's sort of the point of like the 1% unrelatable rich white guy thing again. Yeah. Like, yeah, I do. We've talked about it before. I totally believe that the PGA Tour pulled a fast one on their players and that was all shifty and dicey and all that. Yes. But like, I guess you could argue like we're impacted because we don't get to watch Dustin and Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton or whomever, right?
Right.
On the PGA Tour. And we're like, really, we're not. We still can go play golf anytime we want. We're not my job's not impacted by it. I don't know about yours.
No.
So like they were the ones impacted. They're the ones and it's showing it's like it is over dramatized. Yeah, they get annoyed about things, but as the episodes show, they all accepted Brooks when he was around just fine.
Right. And that's what I mean. Like I understand the impact of players leaving. But from an eyeballs perspective, a viewership, all those sorts of things, like Liv is not making any money. Liv is on the CW or whatever they're on. We see Brooks, we see Rahm, we see these guys four times a year.
Yeah.
And when they leave those four times, I don't see them again.
Yeah.
And I think that's the majority of golf viewers. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Comment below and let me know.
I would say it's definitely the majority, but there are the people like the staunch Liv fans, which I think are more Liv fans to be contrarians than they are.
Right. It's counterculture stuff or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I loved Henrik Stenson. I love that dude. That's my guy. Right. But like, I'm not going to seek him out to watch him play golf.
When, as we talked about in an episode long ago where I thought I was kind of over it and started like, I don't want to say paying attention, but when all the PGA stuff was picking back up and reminding me of the blood money side, I was like, oh, wait, never mind. I forgot.
Yeah, that's right.
That
part of it is somewhat fascinating. And I get, you know, what happened while they're filming. You have to cover that. I didn't agree with the way they covered it, I guess. Like, as if, like, Liv is not, like you said, a threat to not a threat to golf in general. But we're going to go play it no matter what. If the PGA and Liv went away tomorrow, millions of us continue to play golf. That's not an issue. But, yeah, it's a very, I don't know, it just came off as a bit hyperbolic and melodramatic. Anyways,
episode one, it's like, oh good, Jenna Sims is back, and she and
your favorite. Yeah,
she was like still so Jenna Sims.
Yeah,
and wrote this quote down because it killed me. She's talking about Brooks leaving, and she's like, no one remembers how many PGA Tour wins you have or your record, just the majors. And I thought, no, that's objectively untrue. Absolutely false. Yeah, they might not remember that you won like two or three small tournaments, but so people don't talk about how many wins Tiger had in his career, or how many Jack. Phil had, right?
Yeah,
right. So like, such a Like, thank God she was really only in that first episode, because to me, I was like, this is it. This sums her up and her contributions to this in a nutshell. And like, what, when you came walking out by the pool and said to Brooks, like, oh, so why are you doing it? And he went, nobody remembers this. He went, oh, yeah, that's a data point. That's accurate.
That's right.
But that just.
Speaking of the, what are they called? The WAGs?
Yeah, yeah. WAGs. Wives and girlfriends.
I don't know if we talked about Paula a little bit.
Paulina,
yeah, sorry. I was actually, I've been impressed with the way
I made a note of it too. And really? It's funny because, you know, she's forever always presented as like wearing the inappropriately short skirt.
Yeah, she's the woo girl.
The Masters, right? But like, and you know, here's the reaction should be like, well, why couldn't she be smart and intelligent? No, I agree.
Oh, 100%.
She's never been portrayed as that. And anytime she's been in front of the camera and microphone, she's intelligent, well thought out, and I think like presents things fairly well. And then the candid conversations they'd catch her in, same thing. She has her act together. Like, I feel like, oh yeah, she was brought up in Wayne Gretzky's house.
Yeah.
So I think like it's almost this, the world being the world and the way, golf social media likes to portray beautiful women,
certain people,
has definitely done her a disservice. Like, and I don't, if this is probably coming off like, of course, as sort of like, well, why can't she be smart? Like I said, I'm not saying that at all.
No. Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe I am kind of accidentally saying that, but like you were like you said, you can only go off of what you see and what you hear about in these things. And I think, I think, of course, now looking back, like, of course, she was young.
Yeah.
She's very rich. She did party, right? But I just think the evolution of her really impressed me.
I think she is razor sharp.
Yeah.
Which is great because, oh, my God, even in,
right.
Whether it's especially like sat down to talk, but even when they're catching him, you know, again, candidly, Dustin Johnson is such a dull human being.
Oh my God. And he's an empty head.
If he were to hear that and say, yeah, well, look at how rich I am. Like, yeah,
God bless you.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Right.
But having to watch you in an entertainment vehicle based on character and personality.
Yeah. He's not alone in that. Like, no. I don't want to hear, very few athletes I want to hear speak ever.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear any of them, especially for whatever reason, it seems the women athletes are much more, able to hold a thought and sort of communicate.
I love Nelly Korda.
Same.
Love her.
Same, by the way. Yeah.
As we're bringing up Dustin, the glance at
By the way, when are they going to go into that realm? They need to pull them in.
Yeah, hopefully sooner than later.
Nelly Korda is just fantastic.
Dustin and Austin throwing the football around on the driving range tee box, not wearing their shoes. And I'm like, oh, do you boys always do that? Like I don't need, it's so full swing. Like, hey, why don't you guys just be guys on the driving range here? Yeah. We're going to film
some
it.
B-roll. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Just like JT sitting in his gorgeous house's backyard on the water, staring out, contemplating life. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
To be fair, if I had that, I probably would do that.
I wouldn't be, I would just be out there having beers and stuff. I wouldn't be contemplating like,
no.
Will I be a Ryder Cup? Can we talk about we're skipping all over the place.
Well, and that's fair because that's one of the things I made a note on too. And I forgot about it from season one. I got confused in one of them. Like, wait, this tournament already happened. Oh, that's right. You see the same storylines.
I know that was
play over six times in a row because we're following an individual in an episode.
Right. I'd almost be not like a timeline.
Let's follow. The timeline goes sequential and let's touch base with all of them in one episode. And when we're like, oh, we're back at the PGA Championship. Oh, wait. Oh, that's right. Rory already lost this. We're back to it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I go back and forth on that a little bit. I don't know if doing it sequentially would be better or not. I think it would be, but I don't know.
It maybe, and it's fine, but I feel like when you show Rory losing to somebody in one episode, and it's the storyline, him losing to that person was already the storyline. So then when you go to the other person and tell it over again from their side, I'm like, it's you kind of already did this.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't really need to do it.
It's twice. Totally true. Yeah. I got to tell you, Zach Johnson does not show well at all, ever.
I actually thought he did.
Come on, really? Why? In what way?
I just feel like he seemed fairly normal compared to rich, white, cool guy.
Oh, my God. To me, he came off as trying to be one of the cool kids.
Oh,
trying to fit in, trying to be part of the dudes.
I would argue they all do, but...
Yeah, but he's in a position, so when you talk about... That's all well and good. You want to do that, but the fact is, it affected his decision-making process.
It's tough to do when you're the Ryder Cup captain. Right. You probably shouldn't. Because
he clearly chose his guys.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Justin Thomas had no business being on that Ryder Cup team. Zero. He had no business being on the Ryder Cup team at all. It could be argued that Ricky didn't either. And I love Ricky Fowler. You love Ricky Fowler. But like you look at the list of, you know, the world rankings or whatever ranking you want to use, the Ryder Cup rankings. Like Keegan Bradley, and I'm not a huge Keegan guy by any means. He was like, number 8 or 9 or something. And he went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, skipped Keegan Bradley, 10, skipped like 3 more guys, took Ricky, took JT, like that was gross.
I don't disagree with that part of it, but in terms of like Dustin, John, all of them, and then he seemed like a normal guy with his family. I liked how little awareness his kids had about the golf and who he is. So I'm like, well, that's good. He's not like, you know, dad's a Masters champ every 2 weeks.
I said that too. Right? I said that too because my wife, that's two, kind of rolled her eyes at the whole, we're going to dedicate this football field to Zach Johnson or whatever it was, right? Yeah, like captain's corner or whatever. She rolled her eyes at it. And I was like, well, you know, but that his kids just see him as dad. And so it's kind of like cool for their dad.
Right.
You know, like I get that. It's fine. I just thought, his bias was just awful.
Oh yeah.
Just awful. Sure. Yeah,
no, that's 100% true.
And I think they should have, and I know Keegan Bradley, I don't know if he's ever said it or if he told anybody or whatever, but like there were always whispers that he was not the greatest dude to be around when he was younger. He's he's kind of a jag. I think part of that was you can see how he separates himself a little bit from all the, like, maybe it was just his natural personality. It wasn't like this active, I'm better than everyone. It was just perceived that way.
Right.
But I don't think he did himself any favors when he was younger as a player.
Probably not, no.
And so I think that came back to bite him. But he still deserved, all that being said, he deserved to be on that Ryder Cup team.
Yeah.
And the U.S. team at the end of the day got what they deserved, in my mind.
For sure. How... Nothing Burger did the whole Joe LaCava Rory thing. I was thinking full swing. We were like, oh, we might actually get into this and a little more body to it. It seemed almost more dulled and unanswered than
really
it did before.
They kind of glossed over it. I was very curious.
I'm assuming because no one was going to talk about it's not in any of our best interests to talk about this publicly. Yeah. And even Netflix, when they were there, probably like, hey, Netflix, don't go stick your cameras in this, please.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what kind of happened. But even, you know, Hatgate in general.
Yeah.
Like, there was no real commentary about that. Like, what do you mean? Like, they just said, they kind of explained what the issue was.
They talked about it. Yeah,
like,
but
he thinks they should get paid. They don't. People thought he wasn't wearing a hat because of that. But, like, I guess it's not an investigative show. It's just sort of us telling, but like you pursue that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like go after that. And because that's garbage. Everybody knows this is, you know, unpaid effort going into it. It always has been. So like, who are you, Cantley, to all of a sudden be like, I don't think, for the record,
I mean, I'm not saying he didn't want to be paid. I don't think the hat had
think that had anything to do with that. I think he was getting married that next week, and I don't think he wanted the golfer tan line.
No blame him, yeah.
Yeah, which I totally get, which is fine, but that wasn't it. To me, pursue the, why would you possibly
just
think...
Just something that actually had a little body to it, as opposed to like...
Yeah, some teeth maybe, yeah.
Oh, Rory might not win the Masters again, and Jordan Spieth isn't as good as he used to be. Cool.
Yeah. I guess overall, it took me forever to finish the thing because I was bored with it.
Yeah.
I thought for the first season, maybe because it was new and fresh and different, it really captured my attention. But this one, I was like, I'm watching this because I kind of have to. I felt obligated to watch it.
I only watched it because you told me I had to. Right. I genuinely don't think I would have. I will tell you.
Do you watch any other ones? Do you watch the race car one? Or
no. Yeah, I don't know who told me or where I read it, but they're talking about how people watch like a lot of the same shows, even if they're like scary, whatever, because they know how they're going to go.
Yeah.
And they don't get anxious from them. And so I realized,
interesting,
like, we've been wanting to start True Detective, haven't done it yet.
Any of them? Have you ever seen a True Detective?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Haven't watched a new one.
Oh, my God. The new one's so good. God damn.
So we're watching, and this was my wife's suggestion.
It's three.
Well, I hadn't done one yet.
I know.
She's like, I could go for watching Trailer Park Boys again. So we're watching Trailer Park Boys from the beginning. It's awesome. Like, it's hitting all the chords I needed it to hit.
Yeah.
But... running hot, a lot of anxiety in my life right now. So like, yeah, that's exactly it. And so same thing. It's like, I find myself not wanting to start, even if it's lighthearted, like anything new, a new season of Curb. Yeah. I'll watch that new season.
Have you watched new season of Curb?
Yeah. And I watched the last one. It's like, I don't even remember it. So I have to watch it again.
What a great show.
Oh, Always Sunny has a new season out. I'm going to watch it. We watched Reacher, both seasons of that. I guess that was,
really? Is that any good?
Something else on.
That belongs. I feel like that's a CBS show.
And I think the reason it was good. Oh no, USA or TNT. Like it's that class. Like was it Rizzoli Isle or whatever?
Yeah.
It's entertaining. It's like if you want, I'd say better quality. And even this one was cheesy. You know, you watch Jack Ryan. It's so corny and scripted terribly, but we enjoyed it. And I'll watch season three. Don't you worry.
I think my Trailer Park Boys is Arrested Development.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I will go back and I only watch the first three seasons. I don't even do like the fourth Netflix season or anything like that. Like just the first three, fire through those. New Girl is another one that I will go back and watch the seasons.
I hate New Girl. Our New Girl is Parks and Rec in our house. I can't watch. I'll be honest. I can't have enough watching Parks and Rec.
We never did. We have this conversation.
Oh yeah, we've had a lot.
Really?
Oh yeah.
On record.
I believe we have on record. We definitely have in the golf course. We have at bars. We've had it multiple times.
Really?
But
is it Zoe?
Yeah, I hate that, like, the smug indie girl thing. Like, no, I'm so cutesy silly.
SNL skit with about?
Yeah. That's so really funny. Good. It's so really funny.
Yeah. Quirky girl?
Yeah, I struggle with that vibe. And even worse is, like, when you meet one in real life and you're like, oh, my God, you're one of them. And again, who am I?
To me, Jake Johnson, who plays Nick, steals that show.
I think that's what it like killed me about it. There are funny moments and people in it, but like overall, just the quirky girls. And it's not just Zoe, that the other girl, can't think of her name. She did it too. And I couldn't get past it.
Yeah, fair enough. Got it.
Couldn't get past it.
Yeah, the Nick Schmidt vibe is like it for me, man. It's the best. It's just the best. I'm rewatching Sopranos. Speaking of,
I've been wanting to.
Have you seen that whole thing?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But to me, it's so much of that show is not knowing what's going to happen. And
yeah, I am shocked by how much. I mean, I watched it the original run. That's the only time I've watched it.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched it since 25 year anniversary. And yeah, I don't remember so much of it. There's like little glimpses of things when I see something like, oh, that's right, I remember. Like, yeah. They introduce a character and you're like, I know what happens to you, fella. But you don't know when or anything like that. But like, it's such an incredible
show.
They're
going back to Quirky Girl. They're all such good actors and actresses in that show.
Perfectly cast.
Jamie Lynn Sigler.
Yeah.
And then Jamie Lynn, I think she was Jamie Lynn Descala for a little bit. Yeah. Meadow Soprano.
Yeah.
Is the worst. The worst.
But you don't have a child in college yet.
But it's even before she was in college. She's brutal.
See, and I thought AJ was worse than she was.
He
came around. Like, I'm in season four.
He was very much Walter White in Breaking Bad. His kid, yeah. Walt Jr., is that the kid's name?
Yeah.
He definitely had a little bit of that going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they just didn't know how to write for kids. I don't know.
Yeah, that could have been.
I think what they were trying to do was the disconnect between, like, they live this very posh, this life that is basically built on this empire of evil and illegalness and all that kind of stuff, and how just far and entitled they've become over time.
Oh yeah. I mean,
the
story was there. Just yeah. The two were brutal.
Yeah. I just hit the aid, storyline. I totally forgot about it. I don't want to say because if you rewatch
well, there's other things. I remember, but there's like stuff I want to ask. I'm like, no, I don't want to.
She becomes compromised.
Yeah.
She becomes compromised, and it's really funny. It's very like, it's sort of. You didn't watch what was the HBO show Succession?
I didn't.
Okay, so Succession, as you're watching it, there is no one to root for. Everyone is awful.
Okay.
And now that I've watched Succession, I've gone back to watching Sopranos, it's kind of the same, except Tony has a little bit more like personality to him, or sort of that magnetism to him.
Mm-hmm.
So you do kind of end up empathizing with his struggles, even though he's an awful person.
Oh, terrible.
So bad. He's worse than anyone that was in Succession. Like,
all right, so I don't feel like there's any spoilers. Everybody knows.
It's been 25 years.
TV history, the ending of Sopranos is well-documented. Right. It's like one of the most...
open for interpretation.
And unsatisfying endings to people. And it's funny, back in the day when I was a kid, probably shouldn't have been watching it, I was sort of like, oh, yeah, you hope he kind of sails off into the sunset. And this time around, I'm like, no.
Right.
I hope he just got lit up in front of his whole family at dinner. Like, I hope that's exactly what happened and that's what he deserved.
Yeah. It's kind of funny knowing that, because that's obviously part of what I remember was the finale. And so while you're watching, season one, season two,
it's in the back of your mind the whole time. Yeah,
it's sitting there. It's really,
have you watched kind of interesting. The prequel movie with his kid playing him as
not yet. I have not.
Okay, it's not great.
Really? I was going to do it just to, like, check the box.
Mm. When you're done, do it.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately how we watch it, but, like, this is...
Yeah.
There are moments like, okay, that's clever, but, like, it was, like...
Yeah.
Great.
It'll be fresh, and I'll know the backstory somewhat, because he does do the flashbacks in season one or season two, I think, with his dad and stuff like that. But I mean, we've got new... House of Dragons coming too, so I kind of got to.
I gotta get going on that.
I haven't watched that
yet, but reasons I already explained. Yeah. But I need to watch it. I'm a big Matt Smith guy.
Yeah, it's so good.
Hey, last Sopranos comment.
Okay.
Our guy Nicky Cass. He does his like baseball coach character, he talks about like Spadini, and he gives him all these like really really thick Italian names. But when he's getting all worked up and screaming out all the different Italian names, he always throws out a Maltasanti.
Does he? Yeah.
It's from Maltasanti. Maltasanti!
Spider. He was Spider to me when I remember seeing him. He's from Goodfellas.
Yeah.
But he is Maltasanti. Now he was in, did you watch White Lotus season two?
No.
Oh, he was in that.
That's another anxiety.
He played really great. He was really great some in of that
it.
Too.
But it's another anxiety show.
Yeah.
And I think when I watched it, I was like, oh, he's pretty good in this.
He was good. Yeah, he was good. He played it. Yeah, he was good.
One note.
I would hold off on, God, True Detective is so good. But hold on, yeah. if you want to avoid anxiety, that's a tough one.
Noted. I'm not going to watch it then, yeah. But I want to. We were saving it for spring break, and we're on. I have like 3 days left of spring break. We haven't started it.
It's fantastic. It'll be worth the anxiety once you go and watch it.
Okay,
but cool. It is rough. It's rough.
Last full swing note I forgot. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
when Jordan Spieth, I think it was him, who goes, "It's going to be my 15-month-old, Ricky's 15-month-old, and Tom Kim sitting crisscross applesauce eating PB&Js together." Yes. I was like, that's a great line.
I appreciated the Tom Kim storyline.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun.
It was.
I thought that was fun. Rory watching the video of Tom Kim sink into the mud in Oklahoma was amazing. It was the funniest thing. We were laughing forever at Rory's face just watching that.
Hey, how did you appreciate this note? We've been fortunate and able to go to some cool, even historic clubs with old locker rooms. One that comes to my mind in Highland Park, Northmore Country Club. What a cool clubhouse that was, and just rich in history. It just feels like an antique.
Yeah.
Same thing in Milwaukee Country Olympia Club.
Fields.
Olympia Fields is its own vibe because of how huge it is.
Yeah, like it's
massive.
Just, yeah.
It's just not the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
But it's old and it's got carpet and it's
so
like
special in its own way. Yeah. But these guys walking into these old, historic, small clubhouses, locker rooms, I should say, and it's fascinating to see the locker room of a PGA Tour event versus if you went in there on any Wednesday to play.
Sure.
And they're like, all the bags, all the boxes, the 7,000 pairs of shoes everywhere, the umbrellas, the towels. And you're like, obviously this is different than their everyday, so you're not going to see that. But like, it's just fascinating to see how that works and what that looks like compared to what we see. And then even on top of that, the way they treat the lockers, so like, this is my own space, and it's like that's Mr. Thompson's locker for the last 65 years of being a member at Congressional,
right? Yeah. But that was like, when was it Morikawa that was trying on all the different golf clubs for the right fit? They're all the same size, but he was still trying different ones. I think it was season one where he was doing that in one of the locker rooms like that.
Well, that makes sense. Season one is also the one where they're going through with Adidas.
Yeah, the outfits.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
I was waiting. I'm like, I wonder if we're going to have another episode like that. I do feel like the little bit of Morikawa time, they've made him a little more human.
Yes.
Like, hey, we made him like a weird robot.
Right.
That's not likable. And he, by all accounts, he's a pretty likable guy.
He seems that way. Yeah.
He was like, you guys kind of did me dirty. Can you paint me in a better light in season two?
Yeah, I hope, and just to close it out, I hope season three, they get access to some of the guys that I think would just be in it more interesting.
They should go Korn Ferry. Like that one.
That would be great too.
The surprise impromptu Monahan meeting when Wesley Bryan was doing Wesley Kim. Like, that was very funny.
Yes.
Do more stuff like that. The Korn Ferry guys like need to build their brands. They're going to be way more open to this.
It's true. Or at least just jump on some of the younger guys. There's so many good young guys that have a really good story. Is it Jake Knapp?
I know
a bunch of different Knapps.
I grew up with a Knapp, and so they're all that guy's name.
Yeah.
So.
But I think he could be a really cool story, because I think the Sahith stuff, Akshay, we've talked about, but like, I think those are the ones that really kind of, I don't know, that could really draw interest. And those are the guys that the PGA are going to be relying on.
I, for one, just wish we followed a day in the life more with Dan Rappaport and Four Play Pod.
It's God.
See what Trent and Frankie Borelli are doing all day.
Terrible. God. Anyways. All right. Well, getting into a little TV talk mixed in there, which we haven't done. I appreciate
that. Look at us. It's good to catch up.
Yeah.
We don't do shows in a while. We're really doing this show while we're... We have other priorities in our trip today, so this is what you get.
Yeah, it's kind of a pilot-ish.
Or something.
But you know what you should do? If you want to find out what's on the other side of this wall, subscribe.
Soon.
Yes, hit the bell. for new videos, like this one, comment what you thought about season two. Follow this guy, Bill Bush, at Range Heroes. Read all of his stuff at drivingrangeheroes.com. You can follow me at Chris McEwen. What do you have going on the website?
I don't know.
I feel like there's just been so much pumping out the what's in the boxes.
Yeah, now after you do that, you actually have to like do stuff with them.
That's true.
And I don't know how much of those you watch to the end. I feel like I always say at the end, like, I don't know though. We'll have to find out. Right. Don't worry. Make sure you subscribe and hit the bell because we'll post the video when we test. We have a lot.
We got a lot of stuff.
Like, I don't know if people want to see us hit Tacoma irons. You know, everyone speaking of Wesley Bryan.
Doesn't matter. They're going to whether they want to or not.
People want to see us hit the UST Quantum golf shafts that don't fit us, but we'll hit them anyway. We got a lot to do. A lot.
It's true.
So hit the bell. Get notified when, you know, because those are going to come up and you're going to want to know.
Exactly.
And all right, so I'm going to leave the show with this. All right, parting thought. Hustle and heart sets us apart.
It's true.